Hello and welcome to the fifth episode of the Pop Papa Napcast. My name is TJ Deach. I'm your host and the proprietor of poppapa.com. That's poppapa.com. I hope everyone's having a pretty good week. I myself have had an interesting one. It's Friday and this is the first time I've actually sat down to record. That's because Monday I was finishing up episode number 4 and getting that ready to go, which took a little bit longer than I expected. And then Tuesday, Lucy didn't sleep at all, so I couldn't record. Wednesday and Thursday, my wife was homesick, and so the schedule was all kind of thrown off. Plus, I didn't want to sit down and record while she was napping or Lucy was napping because, you know, disruptive. And here we are on Friday, so I am recording. I think I got a pretty good amount of stuff to talk about, and hopefully you are interested in what I have to say. Last weekend, my parents came in for a visit from Toledo, Ohio. It's like a 9-hour drive, and they usually do it Friday morning and then take off Sunday morning. We had a good visit. Friday, we hung out for a little bit till my wife got home, and then we went out and tried a new pizza place around here. One of the extreme benefits of living in New York is that there are a wealth of good pizza places. Even the places that aren't super great are still really good, and they're all like privately owned and have, you know, fresh ingredients. And so it's a far cry from my days in Toledo, where everything was, you know, which do you want to go to Domino's or do you want to go to Pizza Hut? So that's always nice. And the place was good. They've got like a brick oven and they do all their own stuff there. So that was that's on the list now. And then Saturday we went up to New Paltz. My mom, there's a store that my mom loves to shop at, and so we usually go up there when they come to visit. Before that, we took advantage of the Hudson Valley Restaurant Week deal at a place called Barnaby's. Now, Barnaby's is like a steakhouse, and it's in this old building that used to be like the town hall, and at one point it was a theater upstairs. And, you know, my wife and I aren't usually go out and have steak for lunch types, because that's a little expensive. Restaurant week around here, the cool thing is that any restaurant that participates sets up a prefixed menu. So there's 4 appetizers, 4 entrees, and a few desserts. And for a fixed price of like $21 for lunch or $28 or $29 or something for dinner, you get to choose one of each from those sections. There were a few other places in New Paltz that we were looking at maybe trying, but they didn't seem to be as good of a value. I mean, $21 for lunch is kind of a lot, but not if you're able to order steak at a steakhouse. So we went there. My mom's actually been a vegetarian for a really long time. She's done some stuff to kind of reset her system and is actually having a taste for meat again. So, you know, she was up for having a filet. And of course, we actually all wound up getting the filets for the main course and then mixed it up for the rest. But man, it was fantastic. I know this isn't my, you know, food podcast, and I did write about this over on monkeyingaroundthekitchen.com, but it was such a good meal and such a good value, and I think the value helped enhance the meal. And Lucy actually did pretty well there. She had a little bit of steak. She really liked the mashed potatoes and a few of the other things, some of the appetizers we gave her little bits of. When we go out now, sometimes we get her own dish, and sometimes we just cut off pieces of ours and hand that to her. As far as like seating, she's not really into the high chairs anymore. So if we can, we'll get a booth and she can stand next to one of us and eat. Or if we're at like another restaurant, like we went to Fiddlesticks, one of our favorite places in Cornwall on Sunday, she'll actually sit in her own seat and she likes that. A booster helps, of course, but she can also stand pretty well. So that's a bit of a development, I guess. Anyway, you know, the weekend went well, the visit went well. It's always tough because, you know, they're usually pretty quick visits with my parents, but they do try to get here every week. Sometimes it winds up being every 6 months. But the next time we see them is actually going to be down in Florida in Disney World, because we're going for a combined birthday celebration for my dad, whose birthday is May 1st, and my daughter, whose birthday is May 2nd. And they're both pretty big Disney fans, so it will work out. We're pretty excited to see how Lucy reacts to all the characters and seeing the castle and all that stuff, because she watches a ton of Disney. And even when we're watching a different channel and a Disney commercial comes on, she goes, "Disney, Disney, Disney." And so she gets it. You know, the only thing that you worry about with these things is that it might be a little too overwhelming just kind of in general, because it's so big and so many people. And you, of course, you always worry about her maybe running off or something like that. And I really am opposed to those leashes, you know, that they put kids on. But at a thing like that, maybe it makes sense. I don't know. Probably not going to do that. We've got a stroller and everything. And then the more specific worry is that she's going to be afraid of the characters. But I don't know, man. She's really into the princesses right now. And if they have any of the characters from, like, Disney Junior, like Doc McStuffins or Jake and the Neverland Pirates, who I talked about last week, I think we're going to be fine because she is all about those guys. And she loves her Mickey Mouse Clubhouse toys and the characters. And she watches the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse Rally something on Netflix all the time and has it half memorized. So I think she'll be pretty good. And so that'll be coming up in a month, I think. And also will be kind of nice because it'll be a much longer visit with my parents than we've had in a while. So that's something to look forward to. Moving over to what's new in Lou, the big thing that I've talked about in almost every episode, if not every episode of the Pop Pop and Napcast, is sleep. It's kind of been a wild ride all over the place, and as I mentioned in the beginning of the show, it hasn't really changed much. There were a few days early in the week when she slept mostly through the night, and then there were days when she woke up at 11 and came into bed with us. We think that she might have caught my wife's cold, but just didn't have it as bad, which kind of made her a little out of sorts the last few days. But I think she's better today. She actually went down around 1:30, which was nice. I sat down, played a little bit of the skateboarding video game, and she passed right out. I think sometimes she just needs to be, like, held and almost, like, told physically, it's okay, calm down, close your eyes, go to sleep. Because when my wife was home for the 2 days, they wound up just kind of cuddling until they fell asleep. The problem with her not sleeping very consistently at night becomes a problem for me because it means I'm not sleeping that well. She's not very big still, but, you know, when she wakes up at night, we bring her into our bed and she just sleeps there in between my wife and I. And she just sleeps up and down. I know some people do that, like, H thing where the baby is kind of perpendicular to the two of you, in between you. I think that's for much smaller babies. And I don't remember what the point of that is, but I read it in the one book that I ever read about parenting. The rest I've just kind of learned on my own and from what my wife tells me. But so she comes and sleeps with us, and she's, like I said, she's not that big, but having that person there, you're conscious of that, not rolling over. And then the cat loves sleeping on my side of the bed for some reason, and he always sleeps in between my legs, even though my wife curls up when she sleeps, so there's a lot more space over there, and I would prefer it if he slept on that side. He just loves being there, and I know I kick him on accident and all this stuff, and I don't mean to, I swear. He really drives me crazy sometimes, but I do not mean to kick him. And it's just one of those things where I'm like, dude, just go to the other side. You're not going to get kicked. She barely moves when she sleeps. I move a lot. And if I've got a baby on one side who's kind of crowding me and then a cat down by my feet, I feel like I'm in like a pretzel. I'm sleeping S-shaped so I don't, you know, disturb either of them. So it's just been tough. I've also been having some lower back pain lately. And of course it cropped up on, I can't remember if it was Sunday or Monday, but it was after my mom left, who, and she's a massage therapist, so she could have helped. You know, a little bit maybe, but we do have this stuff called Somber Cream that's been really nice. It doesn't get super hot, but it definitely kind of warms up your painful spots and relieves some of the pain. But it was tough when the first day my wife stayed home being sick, my back hurt pretty bad that day and the next day. And it was like, oh God, she's sick. I've got a bad back. The kid's running around like crazy. This is going to be a tough couple of days, but I mean, we got through it. She went back to work and, like I said, Lucy's sleeping and my back actually feels all right now. So that's been kind of one of the things going on with us. But of course, it's not all, you know, poor sleeping and backaches and weird nap schedules. There's been a lot of fun stuff lately. Monday or Tuesday, Lucy was up on a stepladder that I put out when I cook. She likes to stand up there and kind of play with some bowls and some cooking utensils that I'm not using and cook with me, which can be a little tricky sometimes, especially if I have to cut a lot of stuff up. But she tends to kind of come a little bit later after I'm done with all that stuff and just likes to be up there and hang out. But there are drawers that she can get into, kind of some of our junk drawers. And she found a package of chopsticks recently. I didn't know what she wanted, but she wanted to open them. I tried offering her these other ones that I already had open, but nope. She wanted to open her own. And then I split them apart for her. And I didn't really know what she was doing, but then she walked out of the kitchen with them, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. You know, I keep going, and she's fine on her own out here watching TV or whatever. And I hear kind of like a little bit of banging, and I come out here, and she's standing on the keyboard that we got from my grandma's house, and she's banging on my record player and saying, drums, 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 which I thought was so cute. we don't have an actual drum set, but I drink this Chock Full of Nuts coffee, and it comes in tins. And I've got, I saved a big tin and a little tin for her, and I gave them to her, and I we call them her drums. And so she'll bang on either the plastic lid top or the metal bottom. And it's just fun, you know. I think it's cool to have little stuff like that around where obviously it didn't cost you anything to give them these toys, but they wind up loving them anyway. It's like that old thing about kids liking the box more than the present. They don't really know what's supposed to be a toy and what's not, so they'll play with anything that looks fun. And so I set those out for her, and I was like, here's actual drums. And so she started banging away on them, and it was the cutest darn thing. I got some video of it. I'll try to put it up on the site. I know I've said that a few times and haven't done it, but I'm trying to get better at that. So that's been a fun little development. She's done it a few more times. She likes the metal side more, which is awesome. When I was in high school, I was actually in a band, and I played bass, and I also played guitar a little bit. I kind of taught myself how to play guitar at, you know, not a very high level, but I like to play. And it's funny, I haven't really played in a band since high school. I've played with a few people here and there. But I just keep thinking it would be kind of funny if you know, she grows up to be a drummer, and then there's, you can have the Deitch Family rhythm section. Maybe we can find a guitar player. but I swear that was not my intent when I had a child. This isn't like Eddie Van Halen having his son Wolfgang to replace the bass player in his band kind of a thing. Although I do think it's cool that they play together. another kind of new development that she's had is she's getting a better handle on opposites when it comes to like up, down, on and off, and open and close. And these have kind of come through different ways. One day, again, I was in the kitchen cooking, and she opened one of the cabinets, and I kind of sang, open! And then when she closed it, I said, closed. And she really got a kick out of that. I mean, I didn't even think about it. I do silly voices all the time. It was just one of those things that she must have really liked, because she just constantly is opening and closing it. And for a while, she was just leaving it open. And I was like, well, if it's only open, I can't sing closed. And so she started getting it. And then up and down is one that she's been a little bit confused on lately, but she seems to be getting more of. You know, she likes up to be picked up, but then sometimes if you pick her up and she doesn't want to be picked up, she'll just keep saying up. And I'm like, do you mean down? And she'll go, down. And so she's kind of getting that a little bit. And then the up and down, she's also kind of understanding because of all the light switches in the house, except for one that's one of those twisty ones. They're all, you know, simple on and off switches. And so kind of she's getting the hang of up is on and down is off. So I think that's kind of like forming some connections in her brain, which is always cool to see kind of like how they take that information in and start figuring it out. Because English is a pretty complicated language. When I was in college, I took a linguistics class, and they pointed out that one of the reasons that people can have a really hard time learning English is because there's so many synonyms and words that sound alike that are spelled different that mean different things, and homonyms, I guess, right? I should know this. I'm an English major. But there's just all these things that make it really difficult. And so while up and down can translate into many different things, it's neat seeing how she is kind of understanding that information. Because they're simple commands. They also cover a lot of this stuff on Sesame Street, which I know helps. Murray, the Muppet, did a thing on like over and under using a big fountain or something in an episode we saw recently. And so I think she kind of got that, and we kind of do that around the house. So like I said, it's just cool to kind of see her understanding concepts and putting these things together and remembering them, which is, you know, the best part, because that's what shows kind of progress and moving forward and learning how to communicate, which are the main things right now that I think kind of lead to the terrible twos, is that inability for them to communicate what they're doing and what they want, which is a reason that we tried doing some of the sign language stuff when she was younger. We did a bunch of signs as a baby. And she wasn't really doing much of them except for nurse. She definitely got down, and like more she got. But the one that we didn't even kind of realize that she understood was kitty, because she could kind of say it. And so we stopped paying attention to doing the actual sign. And then we realized that she was doing this thing, running her thumb on her cheek, which isn't the actual sign, but it's pretty close. And we realized that that's what she was doing for cat. So it was kind of cool to see that happen. And then she still uses symbols, the signs, for a lot of the food that she wants. She knows like banana and grapes, and we kind of do apple, and she can say those things, but she'll do the sign as well. And I remember my wife telling me that she read an article or a blog post somewhere where a woman did a similar thing with her kid and kind of taught him sign language and was surprised a few years later when the kid was, you know, 3 or 4 and could talk a little bit better. While they were flipping through some family photos, the kid remembered this trip that they took when he was, you know, 1 or 2 really young. There was like a pond and there were ducks. The idea is that kind of teaching them sign language was able to help organize the information better in the kid's head, which built a stronger memory. And so we kind of hope that that's one of the things going on with her. Plus, I mean, you know, living with a toddler who doesn't really know how to speak well or just doesn't understand language yet, it's like there's a movie called Enemy Mine. I don't know if you've seen it. I think it's like an 80s movie. And it stars, I know Louis Gossett Jr. is in it and somebody else. And the idea is that this kind of Earthman crash lands on an alien planet and he winds up becoming friends with an alien played by Louis Gossett Jr. I think they have a kid together or something. But the whole beginning of the movie is the two of these individuals kind of teaming up, but they don't understand each other's language, and so they're just kind of trying to figure out what the heck each other's talking about. And honestly, that's really what it's like having a kid at this stage, because they know what they want and it presumably makes sense in their heads, but they can't convey it to you, and for whatever reason you can't really convey, you know, say their options or your guess to them. And so it's a lot of guesswork, it's a lot of frustration, and it's all understandable because, you know, it's like trying to communicate with somebody who doesn't speak English or is just learning and knows a few things. So we're kind of working on that. We don't really do as many new signs anymore. She does have an app on the iPod Touch that she plays with that kind of does some different ones. So we can look some things up if we want. But she's getting pretty good at kind of parroting what she wants. The problem is that she kind of goes on this like long string of saying things and you can only pick out a few words, and then one of them tends to be like apple or orange or some food that she wants. So you're not really sure kind of where she's going with it. The one thing that I do wish she would really nail, which really has not been happening and is kind of a bummer, is potty training. One of the earliest symbols we tried to teach her was potty. And I realized that it's kind of tricky. Again, going back to that thing about this being a difficult language, you know, saying potty to a kid, does it mean the actual act of going potty? Does it mean going into the room where the potty is? Does it mean using the potty? Does it mean flushing the potty? Like, there's all these things that it could mean. So it's a little confusing, I think. But I was hoping that, you know, now that she's starting to understand and communicate a little bit better, she would start telling us when she needed to go to the bathroom, or at least when she had just gone to the bathroom, so we could avoid some, you know, diaper rash problems and just get things taken care of right away. Of course, the best thing would be for her to tell us ahead of time so we can just put her on the potty and let her go. We've been using a potty seat for forever, as long as I can remember, at least a year, I would think. We just kind of balance her on there before just to get her used to the idea, because it's kind of a foreign idea. We also have a standalone potty seat that she really has never used, maybe once or twice, but she will often put her dolls or stuffed animals on there as if that's their potty, which is kind of funny. But yeah, man, I wish she would get that one down, because it would definitely help. We use reusable diapers, so it would definitely help me, because I would have to spray out fewer diapers, if you catch my drift. And we would have fewer accidents. And the thing that is really interesting and kind of odd to me is that she hates having her hands dirty. She'll eat a banana in the morning, and as soon as she's done, she wants to wash. Anything that's even remotely kind of slimy or juicy, grapes or apples, anything, she wants to wash her hands right away. She didn't even like finger painting because she didn't like having the stuff on her hands. So you would kind of think that maybe that would translate into not wanting to sit in a dirty diaper, but it has not been the case. And unfortunately, she's starting to have some diaper rash stuff, which is only exacerbated by the fact that, you know, we don't know how long she's been wet or when she's been wet or had a dirty diaper. And it's just tricky. It's one of the few things that kind of bums me out about development, is that she hasn't hit that spot yet where she's kind of communicating with us about that. Because, you know, I get busy doing work or different things around the house or cooking, any of these things. And, you know, I'm not going to watch her the whole time. She also doesn't really give any cues. I mean, my wife used to think that every time she like crouched down or fart or do any of these things that she must be pooping. But I used to think that too, and I would check every single time and nothing ever happened. So she's just super sneaky about it, and it's tough. But I'm hoping, you know, soon she'll kind of get it. We've even tried to bribe her with M&Ms, you know, telling her if you go potty on the potty, we'll give you an M&M. One for one and two for a number two. And it's just, it's not working. She loves M&Ms and she'll call out for M&Ms or candy or any of that kind of stuff, but it's just not translating at the moment, which is still kind of a bummer. But, you know, she's pretty fantastic every other way, so I guess I can give her this one little thing. Before getting into the recipient of the Pop Papa Seal of Approval this week, I need to tell a little backstory. On Sunday after my parents left, my wife and I, as I mentioned, we got Fiddlesticks. It was St. Patrick's Day, so we got some Irish food there, and it was amazing. It's the best place in Cornwall, one of the best places in Orange County, and I love it because they're always doing different things on the menu. After that, we went down to the Commons, which is this gigantic, internationally known outlet mall not too far from us. My wife wanted to go to the Disney store, I think, and then we also checked out, like, the Carter's and a few other things, because they do have good deals, but it's not really the kind of place that has anything that I like. The very first time we went there, they had a bookstore, but the bookstore was actually doing a clearance closeout. I did get some cool books there, but it wasn't there the next time we went back. And there used to be a little toy store, kind of like, you know, like a mom-and-pop toy store, where they'd have a bunch of, like, cheap toys and then, you know, like Dunkin' Yo-Yos and other weird stuff that you never really see it anywhere else. And I'm pretty sure that closed. And so it's all like close and close and close and close. And we went into the Gap and I had pretty much a panic attack because that place is just, it was so packed. They were having some giant sale. There was like 100 people in there all running around, various levels of respect for their fellow shoppers. What happens is a lot of people actually fly into the airport and then get a bus that goes right to the Commons. When I used to work in the city for a few months, a block away from Penn Station, which is where I got off the train, there was a bus going right back up to the Commons, which was funny. Sometimes I wanted to just hop back on and make my way home in the morning, but I did not do that. And so people come from all over the world because the deals are supposed to be so good. And what they'll do is they'll just bring an empty suitcase or buy a suitcase there, fill it up, and then bring that back with them. It's pretty crazy. And so there's a lot of people speaking different languages with different kids running around screaming, hollering. And Lucy was pretty rambunctious, so she didn't want to be carried. She wanted to run around. And I freely admit I have problems with, not, I don't know if they're full-on panic attacks, but I get very nervous very quickly and very easily about things like that. I get warm, I get very uncomfortable, and I don't like being in those situations. And my wife had to be like, hey, calm down. Because I was overreacting, and she was right, I needed to just calm down. But I did not like it. I don't really like it there anyway, because like I said, there's nothing for me to even look at. And I didn't see any clothes I wanted, so it was kind of a wash. But then we walked over to the Disney store, and on the way there, there's a playground, and Lucy kind of wanted to go on the playground, but we've got friends that work at the Commons, and their kids have played on there, and after that, they got pink eye and stuff. And what you got to realize is that it's kids from all over the world with different levels of vaccines going on and different germs and viruses and whatever all coming together on one playground. It's like a United Nations for children and germs. So some things can go on in there and, you know, they've gotten sick a few times from playing on there. So we kind of steered around that. She did see the one of those like car things that you can put a quarter in and ride. Well, they're not a quarter anymore. They're 75 cents. But it had Bert and Ernie in a fire truck and she loves Sesame Street. So she got a kick out of that. We put her up there and I took a few pictures that made it onto the photo diary. And then when we went to take her away, she started freaking out because she didn't want to leave Bert and Ernie. And then I was like, look, you're going to love this other store a lot better. So we got into the Disney store and she made a beeline for the back of the store where they basically have what looks like stadium seating looking out from the wall of stuffed animals. And they usually have like three or four characters, but there's a ton of them. And then a big screen on the TV playing the Disney Channel. And so she heard the Disney Channel stuff and went right back there. And again, I was having a panic attack. There were all these kids around and she gets a little close sometimes. And some of the kids I could tell weren't really into it, but everybody did fine. And she like stole a Minnie Mouse from somebody at one point, but gave it back. And so it was fine. Again, I'm a little neurotic about all this stuff and I wasn't feeling great about it. But the plus side to going was that they had all of these play sets on sale, and it was like these little, almost 10 or 11, maybe 12 piece PVC toy sets. They had, you know, a couple different Mickey Mouse Clubhouse ones that had Brave and Princesses and I think Fairies and Monsters, Inc., probably a few more that I'm missing. And they were all on sale, like, not half off, but pretty close. They're all like $10. And so we picked one up. We picked up the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse one. That's what's getting the Pop Pop a seal of approval this week, is these Disney playsets. We thought about getting her Brave, and we thought about getting her one of the General Princess ones. But we figured that we would get this one, and I think my wife might pick up another one while the sale is still going on, just because we think we can get some good use out of them. And it's a lot like the Sesame Street toys I talked about, I think, 2 weeks back, where they're just little. We can bring them anywhere. And I like this one in particular because it features some of the characters that she doesn't have stuffed animals for. My parents got her these stuffed animal versions of Mickey, Minnie, Donald, and Goofy. And then we had like a Pluto from a cruise that we went on a few years ago. And so she kind of keeps them all together with like a small stuffed Elmo. But she is also a fan of Pete and Daisy. And I don't know if they made those in the stuffed plush format, but we definitely don't have them. And so it's kind of cool to give her a couple other options. There's also Clarabelle Cow and a little dog who I don't really recognize. My wife thinks it's Clarabelle's dog, but I don't remember a dog. When these shows are on, I tune out a little bit and work and listen to a podcast. And she doesn't mind because she's over here watching her own stuff. But definitely these little toys get the Pop Pop a seal of approval. Very similar reasons to the Sesame Street things. You know, they're small, they're portable, they're well made. The paint isn't the best on there, but I mean, she doesn't care. That's just the old, you know, the toy writer in me kind of evaluating the product that I'm picking up. But for $10, I mean, it's like a dollar a figure. She loves them all. And the cool thing is that when I open the package, I put them out around the Sesame Street playset that she has. And so she's kind of playing with, you know, her Bert and Ernie and her Mickey and Minnie and her Daisy, like all together on Sesame Street, which reminds me of when I was a kid and I would play with my toys. I kept some separate, you know, basically by size. So my G.I. Joes, which were tiny, were kind of separate. But then, like, everything from, like, Ninja Turtles to He-Man to, you know, whatever random toys. We used to get a lot of random toys back in the day. Just, you know, they were cheaper then, and there seemed to just be a lot more kind of unique things going on. I'm really not trying to be an old man saying, like, back in my day it was better. But there just were more toys because it was a more lucrative business, and you could get things made a lot cheaper. But it was cool seeing her kind of mix these things up and play like I used to. I mean, she's just kind of holding them and putting them on top of the building and organizing them at this point. But it's just fun to see that. It kind of reminds me of myself. My mom and dad will tell you, you know, when I was a kid, I could spend hours with, you know, a box of toys and just sitting there. And we had this, or they have at their house, my parents' house, this fireplace. And I've never seen one like it, but it's actually, the outside is made of stones, and not just like all the same kind of stone, but like, you know, ones jut out. And when I was little, I could actually climb it like a mountain. I would play with all kinds of stuff on there. You know, my G.I. Joes, it would be perfect for a a battle. And I remember one time when I got my very first Ninja Turtle figure, it was Donatello. And I tied a string from a chandelier that we used to have in kind of the middle of the, it was where the dining room table was, but it was all one big room at that point. And I tied the string on there, and then the other end on the handle that you open the fireplace doors with. He's the one that came with a bow staff, just a long stick. And so I would, you know, put the stick in one hand and then kind of encircle the string, put the other hand on. And so he was holding onto it like he was, I don't know, going to do a pull-up and then slide it down. And I would do that for hours, all kinds of stuff like that. I was super into mixing up my toys and having fun. I still am. When I had a desk at my job at Toy Fair, I had a lot of just random figures sitting around. And it's just fun to play like that. I'm glad to see that she's kind of doing the same thing. For this episode, I am going to continue something that I started last week, which is giving the Pop Papa of the Week to an actual real person. This time around, it's somebody I actually know. It's a guy that I used to work with. He's a husband and father of two. His main job is working in PR for a toy company, which is awesome. But in addition to all that, he also writes comic books. Yes, I'm talking about Justin Acklin. He was my editor at Toy Fair when I was there. We got really close because the two of us were basically putting out a magazine on our own for a little under a year. But he's not just my friend. He's also a comic book writer. The first thing that he had published was called Hero House. It's a book that I know he spent a long time getting together and finally got it out back in 2010. There's a link on my website that you can check it out on Amazon if you want to buy that. But right now, he has a new book on stands. It's called Star Wars The Clone Wars, Defenders of the Lost Temple. It's an original graphic novel that takes place between the fourth and fifth season of the Clone Wars TV show that's on Cartoon Network. But I actually don't know that show very well, and I read this and I had no problem understanding it. It's a great book. It's all ages, which is nice. There's a little bit of violence, so you might want to wait until your kid's a little bit older to actually show it to him or read along with him. But I would have no problem showing this to Lucy in a year or so. And it's just cool because it's a really well-done book. I think anybody can read it and understand it and have a good time with it. It kind of takes Star Wars and puts it almost in like the Tomb Raider, Indiana Jones style of story where they're looking for an artifact. He does a lot of cool things with the clone troopers and some Jedi and some Mandalorians. That's what Boba Fett is or was. And so, yeah, it's a great book. In addition to all that, Justin's a good dude. He's a guy that I'm able to bounce story ideas off of, and he does the same thing. We had several emails going back and forth last week, hashing out a story for him and talking about kind of some of the things that I want to do. So for being not only kind of an inspiration as a dad who's writing while doing another job altogether, but also for just being a rad dude who's a good friend and can write some killer Star Wars stories, I'm awarding Justin Acklin as the Pop Papa of the Week. All right, gang, I think I've taken up enough of your time this week. This episode's a little bit longer than normal, but I think that's all right. Hopefully the extra couple of minutes will, you know, get you to whatever next errand you've got to run or a little bit closer to lunch, a little bit closer to home on your commute, whatever. My name is TJ Deitch. If you want more of me, you can head over to poppapa.com. That's where this podcast posts. That's poppapa.com. If you want to check out my pop culture rantings and ravings and reviews, it's really more reviews than anything. I don't get that mad about stuff anymore. You can head over to United Monkey. That's monkee.com. Or if you're interested in what I'm cooking, head over to monkeyingaroundthekitchen.com. Last week I only posted once. This week I'm hoping to get four or five posts up. I just got really busy with work and a few other things. This parenting thing gets, you know, it's not easy keeping a schedule when you're doing all this. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I am at Papa Deitch, PoppaDeitsch. Thanks for listening. Have a good week, and I'll be here next week. Hope you are too.